A promotional fee has been paid by the sponsor of this program for its editorial content. Statements, views, and beliefs expressed by the sponsor do not reflect those of WOKV or Cox Media Group.
Listening to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV, brought to you by St. Vincent's Healthcare. Today we have a very special topic that we are going to be discussing, and that's breastfeeding. And know if you're listening right now that we aren't just speaking to the women out there, but we're also talking to the men and how you can help your wife really get through the process, because it's a long one and it's a beautiful one. Again, my name is Tim Tompkins, and joining me today, I have Dr. Quinones here in the studio with me, Dr. Q for short. She is an OBGYN at St. Vincent's. I also have Debbie Bauer, a lactation consultant, in the studio with me as well. Thank you both so very much for coming on the show.
Hello, Tim.
All right. So today, you know, like I said, we're talking about breastfeeding, and I was sent a really interesting article that where it basically says that UNICEF says that nearly 50% of babies that are not breastfed within the first hour of being born, that leads to a higher mortality rate. And I was wondering if either of you can speak to the importance of breastfeeding right away.
Babies that are placed skin to skin with their moms right after birth and allowed to try to breastfeed within the first hour, it helps maintain their temperatures and regulate their heart rates and their respirations. It colonizes that baby to that mother. And then if they can start breastfeeding within the first hour, the colostrum is very high in nutrients and calories, and it provides antibodies and is kind of like the baby's immunity boost when they start breastfeeding right away. And it also just kind of helps breastfeeding start and progress.
And so it looks like there's also, if they don't get it within the first hour, that not getting it within the first day can be even more detrimental.
Absolutely, yes.
And why is that?
Because it decreases time at the breast, and the mom doesn't learn the baby's cues when they're ready to eat, like rooting and wanting to latch, and it decreases time at the breast. So breastfed babies, they should really go to the breast 8 to 12 times every 24 hours. And in the first 24 hours, usually right after birth for the first 2 hours, babies are awake and alert, and most of them latch on well and breastfeed well. And then the next 20 hours, they're very sleepy, and it can be very difficult to get a baby to latch on to breastfeed. And then the second 24 hours, this is where most moms get very frustrated. They wake up, and all they want to do is feed. So moms tend to think that either my baby's not getting enough or I don't have enough milk for my baby, and then they kind of question, is this successful? So these moms right off the bat just need all the education that they can get and support while they're in the hospital.
I was reading something about Nestle. I think it was Nestle anyway, who they created a formula that they were giving out to mothers. It was in another country, essentially. And that so the formula that they were mixing with the water wasn't healthy, and so the mothers were feeding their babies, in essence, a tainted formula. That's obviously not really a problem here in the U.S. because our water is very safe and very clean. But is formula a really good, is that a good substitute nutrition-wise for babies instead of breastfeeding?
There is never a good substitute for breastfeeding. Formula, if a baby needs, usually it's medically indicated when a baby needs formula. But breast milk contains live cells and protective factors, which formula can't even touch.
Mm-hmm. In addition to antibodies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you have to also think about, this is considered kind of like the baby's first vaccine. Mm-hmm. And you're continuously providing these antibodies to the baby. So that's a protection that there's no other way you're going to get that from formula.
And how does whether or not they're being breastfed right away, how does that really impact their allergies and things like that, and whether or not they develop them?
So essentially, breastfed babies are going to have a better immune system development, right? They'll be mature in the sense that they're going to be healthier. So that will decrease the amount of infections that they'll get, therefore increase their survival. Across the whole time that they're going to be breastfeeding. Now, that is absolutely something that you will never be able to substitute with formula. Mm-hmm. So one of the, and that's, it also includes many, many other factors. And in addition to that, there's bonding also that you have to think about. That's something extremely important in order to provide, it's a kind of a bond that you'll be able to create with your baby. And in addition to not only increasing your milk supply, it allows trust. Your baby will be able to trust you and can confide in you. And in the long run, essentially, your baby will be able to feel more comfortable with you. It's all part of like the soothing process, in addition to not only nutritional factors and the antibodies.
I'm really glad that you, excuse me, actually, keep going, sorry.
In addition to what Dr. Q was talking about, if a mom comes down with an illness or a cold or a virus, or her other children do, or she's exposed to something out in the community, not only does her body produce the antibodies, but those antibodies will go into her breast milk and protect the baby as well.
And as far as we're talking about bonding and everything right now, do fathers, do they often feel left out if they can't feed the baby?
Yes, sometimes. Yeah. And I think the moms feel that way too. And when I get asked that question, you know, when can I pump and give my milk to somebody else feed my baby? We try to encourage at least 3 to 4 weeks to allow breastfeeding to become well established and the milk to come in. And really, a mom can start pumping when she wants to. If she's full, she can empty her breast and store her milk. And then around that 3 to 4 week mark, if daddy wants to try, then of course he can. Dads can also participate in the skin to skin. They can hold baby close, chest to chest, skin to skin, and put a blanket over them and keep their baby warm and bond with them in the same way that mom can.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. As far as, and I think you just kind of spoke to this, Debbie, but the father's role in the breastfeeding relationship, that the skin-to-skin is still possible.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and they're there to support mom, too, mm-hmm. and to be her cheerleader and to help her out when she needs something. Or, you know, when I'm helping a couple breastfeed, a mom-baby couplet, daddy can be involved as well, and I'll show him the techniques that I use, so when I'm not there or they're home, he can help her latch the baby as well. And to involve him in the care, you know, changing the diapers, or I always tell my moms, you know, you're not going to remember the last time you ate, slept, showered.
Mm-hmm.
So when you sit down to feed your baby, I always say, your job is to feed your baby, daddy's job is to feed you.
Okay.
they won't remember, and they're tired. And
I mean, that's really good advice out there, though. It's legit. You know, it's a lot of this is, it's such a partnership that it's really important for the male, the father in the life, to remember the partnership, especially in those first few months. And I want to talk a bit about breastfeeding positions and why is it so important to changing the position of the breastfeeding?
Well, aside from changing the position, the baby moms need to be positioned and comfortable. And then the baby needs to be brought up to breast level, and then the baby needs to be able to latch on right. And if you get all three of those things, chances are breastfeeding will go very well for you. Too often, the babies aren't up at breast level, and then if the latch isn't right, then the nipples get sore, and then they become painful, and then the skin breaks down, and then they don't want to latch. But there are several different feeding positions, and I think the most common is the cradle in front, like the typical Madonna hold.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that new moms and small newborn babies moms run into is that, you know, we want to hold them and we want to put the baby's head in the crook of the arm. So then when they bring the baby to breast and the arm goes in front of the breast, everything gets crowded. So just kind of hold your arm and let your elbow fall naturally to your side to where the baby's head's resting on the fatty pad right here on the forearm. And that will put the baby's mouth and face directly in front of the breast, and baby should be able to latch on right and well. Side lying. Football hold is a good position for a mom who's had a C-section because the baby's on the side, on mom's side, kind of like tucked in when football players hold their footballs.
Mm-hmm.
And the baby's not laying directly on the incision. But the most important thing is to bring baby up at breast level and then latch that baby with a wide open mouth. And generally things go well with that.
Mm-hmm. It also assists with emptying the breast. So if you change positions, mm-hmm. then the baby is latching in a different position, and that suckling will be stimulated in a different orientation, and then that will also help empty the breast. So trying to change positions also will assist you with emptying the breast completely, which is very important, because if not, milk ducts can get clogged, which can lead to pain, and then discourage mom from breastfeeding her baby because now she's uncomfortable.
I was reading online a bit before the show, trying to get prepped for it. And I guess being a male, I just thought, this is this real easy thing. You have a baby, the baby latches onto the breast, and bam, you're breastfeeding right away. And I have everything I read, none of it said that.
I think breastfeeding is one of the most challenging things. It's supposed to be so natural, like you said. And, you know, there are babies that come out, they're born, and they know exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have babies that come out. Some babies just need a good 24 hours. Healthy term newborns just need a good 24 hours to wake up and breastfeed, learn to breastfeed. And it's a learning process for both mom and baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to add on to what Dr. Q said, the breasts do need to be emptied. So when the milk is in and the breast is full and heavy, the mom should let the baby nurse long enough to empty that first sigh, because empty breasts make milk. It's the breast that remain full and heavy and not emptied sends a chemical reaction through the brain to say, we don't need to make more milk. And then moms over a gradual will notice a gradual decrease in their milk supply and then say, yo, what's going on? And so sometimes they run into those issues too.
One thing I was reading is people were talking about, when I was on the message boards, they're essentially saying I have smaller breasts, and does that mean that I'm not going to be able to feed my baby?
No.
That has nothing to do with it.
The size of the breast doesn't matter. It's the glandular tissue, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
The mammary glands.
Yep.
So essentially, it's all kind of like a chemical reaction. So if you have mammary glands, your breasts will be able to produce milk. Now, those initial first few weeks, that's what's going to tell your body how much milk supply you're supposed to develop. And it will, some people say that it even predicts like that first, first 1 to 3 weeks of breastfeeding is what's going to tell your body how much milk supply are you going to really produce within at least the first 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that you actually try to encourage your patients their patients to actually apply the baby to the breast within that first hour, and encourage them to breastfeed within those 8 to 12 times in a 24-hour period, because all of that is critical for how much milk supply your body is going to eventually produce. Therefore, that will in turn reduce the amount of problems that you could potentially develop or encounter later on, and the requirement of maybe the baby requiring formula or other supplements.
All right, we've got to take a break right now. We got lots of time coming up left, though. Stay with us. I have Dr. Quinones here in the studio with me, as well as Debbie Bauer. She is a lactation consultant with St. Vincent's. You are listening to Ask the Doctor here on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. I have Dr. Quinones here in the studio with me, an OBGYN at St. Vincent's, as well as Debbie Bauer, a lactation consultant. Hey, Branson, are you on the line, man?
Yes, I am.
Hey, real quick, Branson, we aren't going to be able to speak to the studies question you had, but the second one you did about any laws.
Oh, no, wait, no, I didn't forget that. Let me just ask you about the, let me ask... yes, I am.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Tim. Okay, Tim, I want to thank you very much. You do a great job. Ask the doctors. I was breastfed by my mother. I'm very healthy. Have there been studies done? I'm here, Tim.
Oh, yeah, we can't speak to the studies, Branson. Let me go ahead and put you back on hold really quick. Branson's question, though, they want to know about laws dealing where mothers are allowed to breastfeed. It seems to make men uncomfortable for some reason out there. Are there any?
In the United States, I believe a mother can breastfeed in public wherever she...
Florida law.
Florida law, right.
Florida law, at least, okay. Does allow for public breastfeeding. So pretty much they can breastfeed anywhere. And they're doing their groceries, if they're at a restaurant, and they do not necessarily have to cover up.
So I was reading about this as well, and one person was saying that she feels really uncomfortable when she's going out in public and she has to put on the nipple shield. And she was asking for any advice about how to put on the nipple shield in public that might make her more comfortable.
So if her comfort level is related to exposing her breasts, then in that case, I would use a nursing cover. And then that way she can manipulate the shield and try to apply it in the correct way until she feels more comfortable or is able to do it a lot quicker and then latch the baby on. So it really just depends on her comfort level.
So you're listening to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. And I guess that's partly where the, you know, the father's around, too, that he can, you know, that's one way that he can really help the mom, too, is maybe holding up a blanket or something to
help out with that. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. One thing I want to know, too, is in this, back in the day, women were told that if babies rejected the breasts, it's because they weren't loved in the womb. That's not something we still tell mothers, right?
No. Absolutely not.
So it's not a concern they should have. Mm. All right. I was on the phone with my mom. I was asking her for advice on how to approach this show, just because it's a little bit harder for me to relate. And that was one thing that I can't believe that they used to tell women that back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, back in the day, as you say, it was very popular to bottle feed babies. I haven't really done much research to figure out during that time period what was the reason behind it. But partly what I've heard historically from asking my parents, my husband's parents, and so on and so forth, that generation, they used to just tell me that it was just very painful and everybody pretty much just scared them on the level of discomfort, and then they choose to bottle feed.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was this trend during that period of time where all babies were bottle fed. And now we're trying to, educate the population of, you know, the best way to provide nutrition and to provide immune defenses to your baby is really to breastfeed them. And that's where we stand right now. And that's where all this baby-friendly initiative started by the WHO and UNICEF. So... This is really what we as providers need to educate our patients that this is really the way to go. And that's not even talking about the financial repercussions of formula.
Right.
I mean, it can add up mm-hmm. quite a much.
For sure. And I've also heard that some women are worried about that breastfeeding will increase or decrease the breast size.
And it slightly increases your breast size during the time that you're going to be nursing. Absolutely. Your breasts will eventually shrink to the normal size to whatever you were prior to pregnancy. So that is true, but it's temporary. It's not permanent. It's not a permanent body change.
Well, there you go. Well, that cue music right there. Well, if you want to call it music anyway, the thing going means we've got to take a break. Amanda, Charlotte, stay on the line. We'll come to you as soon as we get back. You are listening to Ask the Doctor.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for sticking with us here on News 104.5 WOKV. Are listening to Ask the Doctor. Joined with me here in the studio today, I have Dr. Kim Yonas, Dr. Q for short. She is an OBGYN over at St. Vincent's. I also have lactational consultant and a nurse, Debbie Bauer, who I must say you are TV famous, Debbie, before you came on the show.
Thank you so much.
I watched the videos. And if you want to see her in action on TV, just go over to YouTube and type in Debbie Bauer. It comes right up. Today we are latching on to the topic of breastfeeding. Phone lines are open. The show's all about you. 904-340-1045. Again, that's 904-340-1045. I want to kick it over to Amanda on the north side. Amanda, I really appreciate you staying on hold for so long. You're live on the show.
Hi. I wanted to ask, I know that this does not necessarily pertain to breastfeeding, but I wanted to ask what you, the MD, are you an MD?
Yes.
I wanted to ask what you may do differently if you could do medical school all over again.
Well, if we're specifically related to this particular topic, maybe I would have paid a little bit more attention to breastfeeding while I was doing my clinical rotations in OBGYN. In addition to that, probably just learn a little bit more about the benefits of breastfeeding and how that affects you in the long run. Not you only, but also your baby and the positive impacts that it has. And then be able to, you know, absolutely share that in the future with all the patients that you would encounter, especially in your pediatrics rotation and family medicine rotations, which is usually where you'll be exposed to that type of population.
Okay. When I was planning on what I would prefer to do in my residency, and OBGYN was very... sounded very, very nice to me, and that's what I wanted to do. So I thought, since you were on, you sounded very intelligent. I wanted to ask you that.
Well, thank you, Amanda. You're so sweet.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
Thank you. Same to you.
Appreciate that phone call. And again, phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. Charlotte over on the south side. Charlotte, you're live on Ask the Doctor.
Yes, hello?
Yep, you are live on the air. What can we do for you?
Yes, I have a question. I back in the 80s, I had, well, as you can, I'm giving my age away here, but in the 80s, I had a child, right? And he was not fond of taking the breastfeeding. And I had taken a small vacation for a week, and I came back, and my breasts were like gouged, swollen, and he just wouldn't have anything to do with it after he had a taste formula. And, but I can say, you know, that today he still doesn't like milk. But would there be a reason why a baby rejects the mother's milk aside from they said it was because they were unwanted and unloved? And I assured him he was planned and loved.
I don't think babies actually reject the mother's milk. I think there's other issues to why they don't latch. And it could be that the taste of the milk or... something that the mother ate, because the milk can kind of take on the taste of certain things that the mother would eat, or maybe the breast is just so engorged and enlarged that the baby can't latch on and it needs to be softened so the baby can get on. Or sometimes too, if a mom is breastfeeding an older child, like a toddler, and she's pregnant again, that the milk kind of takes on the properties of colostrum and it changes, and sometimes babies reject or don't like that taste. Or it could be that they have an ear infection, they don't feel good, or they're teething. So there's different reasons that...
But from the time, like, they're an infant. I mean, I can remember in the hospital after he's born, they come in and say, feed your child. And he wouldn't take it. And I would be so tired. I'd just lay there and we'd go to sleep together. They just wouldn't eat. They just wouldn't take it.
And sometimes, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so I just thought that I, you know, as a newborn, because, you know, it was my second time around, and the first one, you know, she was just eager beaver. But the second one just was not eager.
Sometimes, and different babies, sometimes, you know, moms have babies that when they're born, the first baby does better than the second baby or vice versa. And in the first 24 hours, like I said earlier, the first 2 hours after birth, the babies are awake and alert and tend to latch much better than the next 2 to 20 hours. They just are in a deep sleep. And, you know, it's like that old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. You can lead a baby to breast, but sometimes you just can't make them latch until they're ready to wake up and feed.
Yeah, well, that actually, I had heard that, and that was what led me to call you, because I think, well, you know, according to what you said, everything was done step by step, as it should have been. But I guess, you know, because of the, you know, back, I don't, maybe you aren't familiar with the 80s, but they really put a heavy burden on mothers back then. If you picked up these baby books and they told you things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and my sister-in-law, she was also going through the same thing, and we just felt terrible. And to this day. You know, I think we're psychologically scarred from our babies not taking a hold of our breast.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the last.
Logically and intelligently, yeah. I tell myself, you know, that's what happens. But I hope they don't do that to any new mothers who come out and a baby rejects because of one reason or another that has nothing to do with a heart.
No, we don't practice that. And, you know, in a situation that you just described, if a baby was having difficulty latching and mom was holding skin to skin and trying to offer the best breast every, you know, as often as she could, and my next step would be to bring a pump in that room and have the mom start pumping until her baby is eager to feed, just so we can get the process started with the milk onset and supply, and then whatever she pumped, she could definitely give to her baby as well.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that might have been a step that may have been overlooked then. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for the information. I'm enjoying your show.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
I appreciate the phone call, Charlotte. And again, phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. Again, that's 904-340-1045. Dr. Quinones, excuse me, doctor. Dr. Q for short. I was trying so hard that I was going to be the one person that didn't mess up your name. There I go doing it. As well as a lactational consultant and nurse, Debbie Bauer, here in the studio with me. The last caller, Charlotte, you guys were discussing pumping, which is a great segue. What should a mother consider when they're choosing a pump? Because there are apparently different options.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So you have the handheld pumps. They're good for kind of like on the go, especially like working moms. Let's say she can't breastfeed or she can't pump and needs to at least express a little bit of milk until she maybe gets home. That would be an option. Now, it's not efficient for like a working mom. A working mom probably needs something more like an electrical pump. They do have electrical pumps that have two pumps. That's what they call the double pump. That's a lot more efficient, and we'll be able to empty the breast in a similar way as a baby would. Though the baby is, of course, a lot more efficient at it and can empty the breast a lot quicker.
Yes.
But it does the job.
And if I could add something, too, with the Affordable Care Act, most insurance carriers, I would encourage moms, excuse me, to check with their medical insurance carrier to see what their benefit is in obtaining a breast pump.
I mean, that is really great. They absolutely should. Are there any cons, really, to any of these pumps that might affect one particular woman over another that they should, if there's something that they should really watch out for?
Yes. I don't know if it's one particular pump over another, but when a mom is pumping, to just pump on a very, the setting should be a comfortable setting, the pull and the tug on the pump, mm-hmm. and then only pump for about 15 minutes until the last droplets of milk is seen. Sometimes I get calls where moms have pumped for an hour on the strongest setting and they're not getting the milk out, but they traumatize their breasts, and so it's on a comfortable setting for about 15 minutes, maybe every 3 hours or sooner if you're full. And there's different reasons moms pump. Moms pump to empty the breast if the baby hasn't, to soften the breast so the baby can latch on. If their baby's in special care nursery and she can't exclusively breastfeed, then she's pumping to get milk and bring to her baby. So there's different reasons.
And does pump and dump actually work if a mom drinks any alcoholic beverage? And if so, how long do you have to dump for?
So the drinking alcoholic beverages, essentially we encourage patients to, if you are going to drink, you probably want to have what they describe is all the way up to your tipsy. So you don't want to feel completely drunk, for lack of a better word, because then that will mean that the more alcoholic beverage is going to be in your breast milk. So essentially you want to, usually I tell patients, you know, if you're going to drink, just have one glass of wine or one beer, but you really don't want to drink too much, because then absolutely you would have to pump and dump, and usually at least for that first that first milk supply after you're drinking is going to be the one that has the highest content of alcohol. So that would be the one that you would want to dump.
I want to talk a little bit about losing the baby weight and, you know, and exercising and the proper diet and everything as you are breastfeeding. And one of the questions that kept coming up was, you know, how can I, the woman, lose weight safely while breastfeeding?
So essentially, you don't want to go into a rigorous diet where you're cutting out too many nutrients or too many calories, because you do have to provide nutrition for yourself and for your baby. So that's one of the things that needs to be taken into consideration. In addition to that, there's certain foods that you want to avoid. So, for example, uncooked or raw fish is one of them.
So they can't just get back on sushi?
Correct.
No.
Man. So how long do you have to avoid sushi for? From the time that you get pregnant through...
All the way till
lactation.
You...
lactation.
Yep.
Till you're finished breastfeeding. Yes.
Years without sushi. This is one thing maybe... Did they tell people about this?
No, a lot of patients don't know that.
Oh, man.
But yeah, also a fish that has a very high content in mercury. So mercury can actually cause issues with neurological development. So the fish that have high contents of mercury would be larger fish. For example, tilefish, king mackerel, swordfish, shark. So essentially the bigger fishes.
Salmon okay, though?
Salmon is okay. Salmon is okay.
I think
as long as it's cooked.
Right, so no sushi then.
Yep.
How about exercising? Will a woman's milk supply be affected by exercising?
No, it's not affected by exercising. You do want to, of course, pretty much the main recommendation with exercising is 30 minutes at least five times a day. Five times a day.
Oh, my goodness.
That would be horrible. Five times a week.
Okay.
Overachiever.
Right? So that's, but you also have to take into consideration. So a lot of patients confuse their, how much weight they've gained from the pregnancy with fluid retention. And their expectations of what has occurred. You know, you get pregnant, you have all of these changes that occur over the course of 9 months. You can't expect for your body to just go back to normal in 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. It is a slow process. You do want to make sure that you're eating well. So a healthy, nutritious diet. You want to exercise. Exercising is just going to depend on what type of delivery you had, pretty much. There's certain restrictions after cesarean section versus a vaginal delivery. So that's one of the things you have to take into consideration. Also, you have to take into consideration, if you haven't exercised a lot throughout the whole pregnancy, you don't want to jump into a very high intensity boot camp type routine, because you can get injured, and then that will further kind of step you back from getting into a good shape. So a couple of different things. You need to be, common sense plays a huge factor in this.
Does that seem to happen a lot? People just really, the women just, they really want to start exercising as fast as possible after having that baby, so they work out too
hard? It depends on what they did, before they were pregnant. Mm-hmm. If they were an exercise buff and they really want, yes, some do, some, mm-hmm. yeah.
So do you, I suggest to women that while they are pregnant, if they're planning to exercise after, that they continue some sort of routine during pregnancy?
During pregnancy, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. If they're runners, I usually tell them, you can run. You're going to just have to pay attention to your body, right, and see up to what point can you tolerate.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, music. Brian, our producer, is please played it twice. Now he's saying, shut up, Tim. So we got to take a break. We'll come back, though. We got plenty of time left. Right here on News 104.5. 104.5 WOKV, brought to you by St. Vincent's. My name is Tim Tompkins. Brian Middleton behind the boards, producing the show, keeping us honest. I have Dr. Quinones here in the studio with me, as well as a lactation consultant and nurse, and Debbie Bauer. We haven't spent as much time as we probably should have talking about increasing the supply of milk, because I know how important that is. One question I had was, how does the frequency of breastfeeding play to the role of increasing the supply?
Babies should feed at least 8 to 12 times or more every 24 hours, including nighttime, because that just signals the body to produce the milk. Babies should be allowed to breastfeed on demand and not restricted to 10, 15 minutes by watching the clock. If a baby isn't feeding and 8 to 12 times a day or more, and to be honest, most babies, when they go into their second day, they can feed 15 to 20 times a day. And all of this is going to help stimulate the prolactin to produce the milk and the oxytocin, which actually lets down the milk. And so whenever baby's hungry and mom puts baby to breast, baby will be rewarded with the milk. It's those moms and those babies that aren't feeding that minimum 8 or only 4 times a day or 6 times a day. That's when I get these phone calls saying, well, my milk supply is down. Why isn't my baby getting enough? And it's the number of times that that baby goes to breast, and then making sure that the baby is emptying the breast is what produces the milk.
That just to tag on a little bit to that, so there's, you want to improve the reflex, so you want to be relaxed and comfortable. You want to make sure that your baby latches on appropriately, so a proper latch is critical in order to increase your milk supply. You want to make sure that the baby empties the breast. That also is critical, as Debbie was saying before. And try to avoid bottle feeding. Those first few weeks, you really just want the baby to be latched on directly to the breast. Try to avoid bottle feeding. That way you don't confuse the baby also. In addition to that, you empty your breast completely, and you signal your body, this is when my baby wants to eat. I need more milk production. So all of these things also are critical in order to increase your milk supply. And I know it's very difficult as patients, not only within that first month of breastfeeding. So once patients go back to work, it can be very difficult for women in general to keep up with that milk supply. There's a lot of research out there regarding medications, herbal remedies that can potentially increase your milk production. From the study standpoint, there's not 100% critical evidence that supports one thing more than the other, but in general, there are some certain types of herbal remedies that can help. For example, there's teas that you can pretty much buy in any grocery store that specifically are designed to increase milk production. There's cookie recipes out there that you can add certain types of ingredients in it that also will help increase your milk supply. And so these are some things that you can do to improve your milk supply, especially if you're starting to go back to work and now you're just pumping. The other thing that you have to keep in mind when you go back to work is you have to be relaxed. And that's very difficult when for a mom, you know, you're away from your baby in order to relax. Very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Well, thankfully, they have professionals like the two of you that they can reach out to. Sorry to cut you off, but that cue music means mm-hmm. we've got to go.
Nope. Yeah.
We got to go on to the news, weather, and traffic coming up next. But Dr. Quinones and Debbie Bauer, thank you both so very much for coming on the show. My name is Tim Tompkins. The show is produced by Brian Middleton.